Hi, peeps. Welcome to Workday Playdate. I am Erin Deal. And if you are a peep in our community, welcome back. If you are new here, I just want to quickly introduce myself. I'm Erin Deal. This is Workday Playdate. And typically our shows are pretty lighthearted, but they always pack a tangible punch. And today I felt very called to create an episode for the leaders who are feeling like they don't know what to say. They don't know how to react. They don't know how to lead in this heavy time. I'm the founder of a company called Improve It, just to give you context. We've been around for 11 years and created this business, this idea in 2011, launched it in 2013, fully put it into motion in 2014, and have been leading a team ever since. And I want to just say right out of the gate that I am not an expert on world events. I don't pretend to be. However, I am a leadership expert. I practice kindness, love, and compassion on a daily basis. I lead my team and I teach leaders how to lead their team. And that's what makes me qualified to have this conversation here today. I also want to preface by saying what this conversation is not going to be. It is not going to be a talk about political parties. I'm not going to tell you how to show up politically. I'm not even going to give you resources on what to do right now happening in the world. However, what I am going to ask you to do is look inward. I'm going to ask you to pause. I'm going to ask you to notice what serves you in this conversation. And I'm going to invite you to take what you need and to leave the rest. Because here's the problem. The world outside has bled into our work. Gone are the days of politics just being politics and world events staying outside of boardrooms, because they are in the boardroom now. They affect every decision that we make as leaders. I was talking with our VP at Improve It recently, and Jenna, she's been with us 9 years, and she's in her early 30s, and she commented, you know, I was telling my mom, this is, you know, the only climate that I've known. I could vote when I was 26, or when I was 18, and I, you know, it was a couple years after that. My first time voting was in 2016, is what she said. So this is the world she's known. She's known her adult 20s life with social media. And meanwhile, myself as an elder millennial is just being like, what happened, right? Like, I didn't have social media in college, first of all. Facebook came out my senior year. You had to have a .edu email address to even log on. We didn't have cameras on our phones. I would have those little Kodak cameras, you know, that you had the little dial that you had to turn with your thumb, and then you would drop it off at Walgreens and you'd get doubles. You get your pictures actually printed and you would get doubles. And who knows what we did with those doubles, but we got doubles. When I finally got a digital camera, it was a miracle. I was like, wow, this feels revolutionary. Laptops were a novelty. Okay, as I was entering my 20s, first and foremost, I had one of those giant monitors in my dorm room, did not have a laptop to bring into my classroom. There were no iPads. And there was no way to create conflict online. The only platform we really had was AOL Instant Messenger. And if you're an elder millennial or above, you know what I'm talking about. I spent way too much time on AOL Instant Messenger, and like my away message was a full thesis statement, okay? Anything that was said, I was like, oh, going in my away message. And so that was how we communicated, but it was just one-on-one communication. So here's the reality now. The world has become very excessive. There is a lot of information to consume. Y'all, big deal, my 8-pound toy poodle just came here. He came into the conversation, so we're going to bring him in. No mistakes, only gifts, okay? There are too many opinions, in my opinion, out there. There are too many screens, too many screen options. There's just too much access. And all of that excess comes into our work. People have the outside world in their pockets, literally at their fingertips. So it's no longer Steve on his lunch break in the lunchroom reading the newspaper. It is Steve inside of a meeting in a boardroom with a screen behind him projecting people in on Zoom from all over the world with his computer screen right in front of him with his fingers on his iPhone flipping through today's headlines. All of what we're hearing in this outside world bleeds into our team's minds. There is no off switch. And as their subconscious feels with more and more data and more information, you, their leader, are trying to fill their informational overload with KPI reports, P&L reports, and performance metrics. There are people right now who are really suffering. There are people whose families are suffering and they themselves might be affected and suffering. So the solution, my peeps, it's not to turn a blind eye. It's not to ignore it and hope that it goes away. This is the world that we're living in, which means we have to open our eyes. We have to talk openly. We have to, as leaders, create spaces where people feel safe, where they feel like they belong. Belonging is not fluffy. It's not soft, and it's, in my opinion, not optional. Belonging is a business strategy. It's also a human strategy. This is where I want to pause for a second to give you some CART data, fill your informational overload with more, because honestly, this shows how belonging increases tenure, it reduces turnover, and it creates psychological safety at work. So Google did a project called Aristotle, which was a multi-year study on high-performing teams. And it found that psychological safety was the number one predictor of high-performing teams. Teams where people felt safe to speak up learned faster. They made fewer costly mistakes. They performed better over time. So the highest performing teams don't start with talent. They start with psychological safety, and belonging is how you get there. Harvard Business Review also reported that employees who feel a sense of belonging experience 50% increases in job performance, 50% reduction in turnover risk, and 75% fewer sick days. Belonging frees up our energy. So when people aren't bracing themselves, they can actually do their best work. There are so many more studies that I could give you with research and data and psychological evidence of why belonging matters. But before I give you any more of that, and actually I'm not even before, just let's stop there. I want to teach you something from my heart to yours. I want to teach you how to show up for your team when the world feels heavy. And y'all know I love an acronym. If you are a peep on this show, you know I love an acronym. It's a four-step process. After I give it to you, I'm going to ask you to save this episode, to share this episode, because I want you to come back to this time and time and time again. When the world feels heavy, you can pick this up. This is your four-letter word. The acronym is L-O-V-E. And before you roll your eyes and like, turn this podcast off, we're going to break it down. Because I'm going to tell you this wisdom was given to me, and I am here to share it with you. And by given to me, I want to tell you that I get myself into a space where I ask, call it God, source, the universe, whoever you want. What do they need to know? And this was given to me to give to you. No one has all the answers, but we do have wisdom inside of us if we take time to really sit still and listen. The L in the L-O-V-E stands for listen. The O stands for openly. The V stands for value, and the E stands for energy. listen openly, value energy. And I want to break this down, you know, even further. So let's start with listen. The silence that you hear in meetings after a big news moment is speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? When I was 18 years old, my dad said something to me I'll never forget. I was leaving, you know, my home in Michigan to go to college across the country in Clemson. I went to Clemson University, and he said to me, after a couple weeks of being away, the silence is deafening. And he was right. As a leader, are you picking up on what is not being said? Start by, how are you as a leader feeling? And are you listening to that? Because chances are, if you're feeling it, your team is too. So really just taking a moment to listen. Listen. There's an acronym I'm going to give you even further that I love. It's WAIT. Why am I talking? Okay, when you think about listening, think about WAIT. Why am I talking? Just really take a moment and take a step back. Listen. The second step, the O, is openly. You are openly going to ask questions out loud without, here is the key, y'all, without having all the answers. Without having all the answers. That is the key. You don't have all the answers. Just newsflash. Here's another news alert for you. You don't. I don't. That's what I started the show with. And the leaders who can admit that are the leaders I want to follow. We're all here trying to figure it out together. My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passionstruck Network. Now back to our show. The other day, this is, I'm recording this actually a week before you're hearing it. So anyway, the last week of January, 2026, I had a meeting with my team earlier this week. A lot of things happened over the weekend coming into the Monday. And I just really didn't know what to say. And I said exactly that. I started the meeting with, you know, some casual catch up and then said, all right, I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend I have all the answers. I'm not a world expert, but I am a leadership expert. How are we feeling? Do we need to have a conversation about what's going on in the world right now? And I got to tell you, that was met with so much love. My team said, wow, I really appreciate you asking that. And then we had a about 15-minute conversation about what was going on and how we as human beings, not human doings, were feeling. Did this eat into our meeting time, but we already have a tight agenda? Yes. I'll get to that in a second. But that time, ooh, that time actually helped create the episode that I'm creating for you here today. That time was the time that my team actually felt like I was listening openly. So I have a smaller team. And if you have a larger team, here's just a thought for that. So the meeting doesn't completely get overhauled. You can set a timer. Everybody gets 2 minutes. Let's say you have 10 people on your team. That's a 20-minute conversation that will give you more value than any KPI or metric in your database. Because that 20 minutes builds trust. It builds openness. It creates a place where people feel seen, heard, and valued. Which brings me to the V, value. I want you to get crystal clear on what your company values and what you value. So I wrote a book, if you don't know this, in 2024. It's called I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy. And in part 3 of the book, I give you a step-by-step methodology for you to create core values with your team. Here's the keyword, with. You don't create them for them. You create them with them. And then once you create them, you use them for every hiring decision and for every performance review. Talking about my parents a lot in this episode, but my mom said, you need to know what you stand for, because if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. We don't need everybody to have the same background or skill set. We welcome those differences, but your core values cannot just live in a Google Doc. They have to live in your knowing, and you need to know what you value too. You can also do this exact same exercise for you, yourself as a human being. In fact, I am going to give you this 60-page leadership guide. It's called a resource guidebook that is lifted exactly from ICEO, and I'm going to give it to you in the show notes. All you have to do is click that link, and it will take you to this activity step by step in part 3 of the guidebook. It pairs well with the book, but if you are like, I just want a free resource, I don't want the book, I don't have time to read, grab this guidebook in the show notes, go to part 3, and it's a section all about building magnetic cultures. You are going to get this step by step exercise. I want you to know what you value, what your company values. Because not knowing, you have nothing to compare. You have no expectation to set. But when you know what you value, and if you value belonging, acceptance, and community, and it's not happening, you have a conversation to have. And finally, the E is your energy. Now, in ICU, the book I wrote, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy, I talk about we are all students at Energy University. I call it Energy U. And some people look at me when I do this in book talks, they're like, what is she talking about? So I'm going to encourage you to do this too. Wherever you are, I want you to pull out your phone and go to a photo section, maybe the photo section of your phone or an app like Instagram where you can see photos, and find a photo of yourself. It could be with you, a little selfie. It could be with a teammate. It could be with a family member, a friend. And I want you to really look at that beautiful human staring back at you. Because I bet just by looking at that picture, you can remember how you felt in that exact moment. That feeling rushes over you. And that feeling, my friend, is energy. It is energy you at work. You have been studying energy your entire life, but now it's time for a masterclass. So the energy that we bring to work, whether we realize it or not, is what our team feels. So the energy sets our tone every single time. We have the ability to create the energy that we want to see. I actually have a Peloton instructor that I love named Callie, and she always says, BYOE, bring your own energy. And that's what I'm going to ask of you. My voice got hoarse, but that's what I'm going to ask of you. If you're a leader of a remote team, this is especially important. You can use whatever messaging center you have as a place to set the tone and start the day with the right energy. So for example, my team and I use Slack, and we don't just use it for logistics. It's how we build our culture because we're all remote. So I always start the day in our general channel with a question. I'll ask a specific question that people can come back to when they have time. So there's no pressure to do it. It's just a way to set an intention, to create some team bonding. So one of the questions this past week that I asked my team was, in a heavy world, I want you to acknowledge a client or a team member who's shown up for you today and give them their flowers. That one question did so much. It created camaraderie. It created psychological safety. It reminded people that they're not alone. And here's the thing, it wasn't the tool. It was the energy behind the message. That intentional energy sets the tone for everything that follows. Because in this heavy world, when you feel helpless or you feel like you can't contribute or you feel like you're just talking without taking action, you can BYOE. As Callie, my favorite Peloton instructor, says, bring your own energy. You can create the rooms that you want to be in. You can take action in a way that is positive and congruent to you. For me, right now in this moment, it means creating the spaces and places I want to see in the world. I know the workshops that we create at Improve It just do that. If you've ever been in one of our workshops, you know the feeling that we create is one of safety, belonging, of connection, community. They create psychological safety. They make people feel good. They bring people back to their higher selves. I see it when I do a book talk. I see it in our keynotes. Improv is the vessel in which I teach. And I will say this, we actually have something coming really soon here at Improve It, where if you are not able to bring us into your organization on a group basis, we're going to have something for you on an individual basis. So stay tuned on that. But what I'm saying is, create the energy you want to see in the world. Maybe for you, that's creating art. Maybe it's music and you create some type of environment where you can invite people together to create music. Maybe it's getting outside in nature with friends. Maybe for your team, it looks like doing something together that brings energy back. Something that builds collectivity, builds connection, something for a cause that you collectively care about. But intentional energy matters. Bringing your own energy is how we move forward in the right direction. We need more people waking up to their own energy for the sake of the collective. My coach and mentor, Ra Goddess, taught me this. Your individualized I is your contribution to the we. I want you to know that I am creating the energy I want to see with the work that we're doing right here, right now, on this show. This show allows me to create things that are meaningful, not only to me, but my team. This show is something rooted in positive change. So my question for you is this. What is that for you? Before we close, I want to leave you again and come back to our acronym, L-O-V-E. Love, openly, value, energy. Love. And if you're listening to this show and you've been a listener, I know that this word love does not bother you. But for a lot of leaders, love is not a word that gets used in the Zoom room or the boardroom. But here's what I know to be true. You don't fight hate with hate. You don't fight turmoil with more turmoil. You fight it with love. Love, love, love. And if you haven't heard this today, I want you to hear it now. I love you. You are love. I created this for you with love. I wrote this for you with love, and I'm speaking it to you with love. And I created it for the people in your life who need more of it too. My only ask is this. If this episode moved you in any way, please share it or simply just spread more love today, this week, this month. We need more kindness. We need more compassion. We need more positivity. Because if we want to lead our teams through heavy times, we have to remember this. The opposite of heavy is light. Be the light you want to see. Listen. Openly ask questions. Create your values and use them in your hiring, performance reviews, and making your people feel seen. And energy. Create spaces and places with the energy you want to see in this world. I love you. Thank you for listening.